We learn in Daniel 9 that the Messiah, the Anointed One, is cut off. What does that mean? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
If you've been following along with this series called Between Weeks, you know that we've been in Daniel chapter 9, and it's in Daniel chapter 9 where we learn about the 70 weeks, 490 years, that Gabriel, the angel, reveals to Daniel with respect to how much time is going to be devoted to the nation of Israel. And last time we were in chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, and we found out that the Anointed One was going to be cut off. And, of course, we discussed the fact that this means that the Anointed One referenced in that passage will come to an end or be killed. And after 483 years, the Messiah finally appears, and he announced his kingship as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, it's noteworthy to realize that the people were singing praise to him, as I pointed out last time. And, of course, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they came up and then they said, look, you know, you need to tell these people to be quiet because what they're doing is blaspheming. And, of course, their point was, is you're not God. You're not the Messiah. And, of course, Jesus points out to them that, look, if I tell these people to be quiet, and they do, then the rocks themselves will cry out. We also pointed out and referenced Zechariah 9:9, which says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. Well, I thank you for joining me today. I'm Dr. Fred, and we're going to continue on with this. And as we find out more about what Gabriel is telling to Daniel and what Daniel understands Gabriel to mean and what effect that has on the nation of Israel and the world itself. Now, the verse I just mentioned, Zechariah 9:9, it's an obvious reference to the first coming of the Messiah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And again, that's Zechariah 9:9. Now, I know today how this is often allegorized, especially by Orthodox Jews, because it is really a direct reference to the act that Jesus did when he rode into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry on the donkey. But the next verse is also very interesting. The next verse, Zechariah 9:10, which immediately follows it, says this, quote, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be seen from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And again, that's Zechariah 9:10. Now, in 9:9, we have this verse that indicates Christ's first coming and the fact that he is going to come providing salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey. And then the next verse really references his second coming. But what's very interesting here is that there is no time lapse between the verses, none that we can see. We only know that there is a time lapse because of what has taken place in history. He is ruling now, certainly, from the right hand of his Father. But there will come a time when Jesus himself, after physically returning, will reign from Jerusalem. And he will speak peace to the nations, and his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That is not happening now. That is not happening now. There is constant talk of war and rumors of war. And the wars that break out, whether they're little skirmishes or major battles, the point is, there is no global peace. But what is interesting is that humanity has tried to gain peace and maintain peace through institutions like the League of Nations first, and that was a failed project, so it was replaced with the United Nations, and the United Nations ever since then, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's time as president, has tried to gain peace for all nations. It has failed miserably, and it won't succeed, although it may have something to do with the revelation of the Antichrist coming up soon. We don't know. But the Bible gives no indication between these two verses that any time has passed at all. This occurs a number of times in Scripture. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because I want to go back and talk about that gap of time in Daniel 9. Here in Zechariah 9, 9 and 10, there is an obvious lapse of time between those two verses, unless a person allegorizes their meaning to stretch it beyond credulity to mean something that it doesn't. Oh, he's spiritually ruling. Well, God has never given up his dominion of this planet. He controls the outcome of all things. But Zechariah 9:10 is personally describing the personal rule of Jesus Christ, and how when he rules, there will be peace from sea to sea. That's not happening now. That just simply does not exist. So, as I mentioned, this type of gap does occur in Scripture. We know that shortly after Jesus rode into Jerusalem and was pronounced king by the people, he was also crucified. This is what Gabriel told Daniel that would happen many years before it actually did, when he used the words cut off. This is the beauty of the Bible. As many proofs found within it and the various prophecies that we see point to the fact that God is who he says he is. And he is truth. He has graciously stooped to us because of what his infinite love is for us. He has granted us knowledge that we had no right to know, yet he chose to reveal to us. Unfortunately, many choose, as I've pointed out, to misinterpret what is really plain truth. Once Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the 69th week came to an end. You know, some debate this, because not all see the events of verse 26 as occurring during the interim, the space between the 69th week and the start of the 70th. It's difficult for me to arrive at a conclusion other than the Messiah's death occurred after the end of the 69th week because of what Gabriel told Daniel as recorded in verse 25 of chapter 9. From the time the decree was given until the coming of an anointed one, the prince, was to be a total of 69 weeks. Jesus presented himself as king as he rode into Jerusalem on that particular day, just prior to his crucifixion. Now, what Gabriel says next is very, very important. He continues by stating, quote, "And after this, and I mentioned that previously, which should be understood to mean after the end of the 69th week," Gabriel says, "and after this, when the Anointed One arrived on the scene as king." That's what Gabriel is talking about. It would appear that Gabriel is plainly stating that the coming of the Anointed One, the Prince, takes us to the end of the 69th week. Gabriel immediately states what is to take place after the 69th week. And we listed those already. We listed them already. Once the Messiah was cut off or killed, the next event to take place is the destruction of the holy city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, the temple. This is the very temple that Jesus referred to at the beginning of his Olivet Discourse, found in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. We know that Jesus was crucified, and we also know that he rose from the dead. We know that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple occurred in history in AD 70. We further know who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. It is historical fact that the Romans under Vespasian and Titus destroyed the temple. Now these events are foretold by Gabriel in verse 26 of Daniel 9. Any disagreement lies over exactly where they occur within the time frame of God's prophetic calendar. Now verse 26 continues by telling us, quote, "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." We need only ask ourselves, who destroyed the city and the sanctuary? Well, the correct and only answer is the Romans, as I've mentioned. Gabriel here is connecting the future group of people that we know of as the Romans with the prince. In verse 26, he says, "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city." The words "who is to come" refer directly to this use of the prince here. This prince who is yet to come, from Daniel's perspective, implying that this prince has not yet come, of course. So it couldn't be Jesus, because this is after Gabriel has described the events that would take place to the Messiah. This prince would be the prince of the people who would destroy the city and the sanctuary, yet of course it was still future from Daniel's perspective. Since we know that the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, then this prince is obviously the prince of the Roman people. The point here is that the Romans and this prince are of the same nationality, Gentile. We know that God often used other armies, other nations, other empires to carry out his judgment against Israel. Normally then, those he used as his arm of judgment would also later be judged directly by God or through another group of people. So Gabriel here is referring to a specific people, the Romans, who were and are Gentiles. Christ was never their prince. From this we know that the Antichrist, on the other hand, will be Gentile and probably of Roman or European descent. The Antichrist will be of the same ethnicity as the Romans, which could mean merely Gentile or Roman Gentile. And when the text says, paraphrasing, quote, "there will be wars and desolations to the end," it means exactly that. There will be wars and desolations until the end of this age, until Jesus returns. And remember, according to Jewish rabbis, there are two ages, this one that we now live in and the coming one, the one in which Jesus Christ will rule. There is no time in history when Israel has really been at peace. To this day, Israel is at war with neighboring nations. There are also plenty of rumors of war in the Middle East as well. Tension is constantly high. Remember, the entire prophecy here in chapter 9 is directed to Daniel's people and Daniel's holy city. There's no reason to allegorize this and apply another meaning to it, somehow making it apply to the church or the world at large. There's no reason to do that. Gabriel means Israelites and Jerusalem. It's clear, it is simple, and it is just plain logical. Now the 69th week actually comes to an end in verse 25, with verse 26 continuing on from that point, describing the three events which are clearly to occur after the 69th week, but before the 70th week. How do we know this? Well, it's apparent from the text that the 70th week does not begin until one specific event takes place. And we are going to discuss that next time. Sorry to leave you hanging, but we are just about out of time here with another episode of Study Grow Know. I hope that this has been beneficial to you. I would encourage you to go to my website and download Between Weeks. It's a free book, as all my books are. And that's at studygrowknow.com. But until we meet again, I pray that the Lord would open your eyes and show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.